Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text number 53. Nirritirnama paschatvas tayayati puranjana vaishasam nama vishayam Another gate on the western side was known as Nirriti. Puranjana used to go through this gate to the place known as Vaishasa, accompanied by his friend Lupdaka. What does that mean? Purpur. That's why we need Srila Prabhupada's purpose to understand what it means. Of course, later on also, the Bhagavatam will explain also, will debrief the whole thing at the end. This is a reference to the rectum. The rectum is supposed to be situated on the western side of the eyes, nose, and ears. This gate is especially meant for death. When an ordinary living entity abandons his present body, he passes through the rectum. It is therefore painful. When one is called by nature to evacuate, one also experiences pain. Sometimes relief, but sometimes pain, sometimes it's difficult, it's painful. The friend of the living entity who accompanies him through this gate is named Lupdaka, which means greed. Due to our greed, we eat unnecessarily, and such gluttony causes pain at the time of evacuation. The conclusion is that the living entity feels well if he evacuates properly. This is interesting. The conclusion is that the living entity feels well if he evacuates properly. This gate is known as Nirriti, or the painful gate. Nirritir nama paschadvas tayayati puranjana Vaishasam nama vishayam lupdakena samambita. Another gate on the western side was known as Nirriti. Puranjana used to go through this gate to the place known as Vaishasa, accompanied by his friend Lupdaka. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakkaya Chakshurum militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prestaya buttale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste sarasvate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunjavadi paschatyade shatarine vanchakalpa tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very interesting and maybe even puzzling verse and purport. What's about? Talking about. Usually we don't talk about these things. We don't talk about the rectum. It's only very gross people talk about these things. But here we see that the Srimad Bhagavatam is discussing about this particular gate of the body, why does the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about it? Because it is related to Krishna. Everything can be related to Krishna. And also, this aspect of the bodily functions is connected to Krishna. The word we can do before getting into the topic and looking into it, in what ways this may be connected to Krishna. We can recap a little bit about the story of Puranjana, where we are at the moment. This is an allegorical story taught by Sri Narada Muni to King Prachinavarhi. The king was engaged in fruitive activities, karmakanda activities, with the idea of achieving a material elevation to the heavenly planets. He was killing animals for that purpose. So Narada Muni came to visit him with the intention of doing good to the king. Devotees do not go to any place unless they have a purpose to fulfill. So Narada Muni had the purpose of a good purpose to fulfill, a higher purpose. Of course, also materialistic people go to places to fulfill a purpose, but it is a very different purpose than that intended to achieve by the devotees. So Narada Muni went to see a king, not to take a picture with him. Some people go to see the king to get the picture. We do that also sometimes for preaching, like we got the picture with the princess, so it's very nice. We can show, oh, we met the princess and she likes us. So she likes us, you should also like us. This is what we mean when... So people also, they like to take pictures with the king to say, oh, I'm an important person, I'm together with the king. Narada Muni didn't have any other purpose to meet King Parikshit than to help him, to give him Krishna consciousness. And then, therefore, he decided to do it in a very polite way. And he told the story of a king. This was an allegorical king, the king named Puranjana. And the name Puranjana, the meaning is the living entity, Jana. Jana means people, person, Puran, who is living in the body, in the city of the body. Puri, like we say Puri, Jagannath Puri, Dwarka Puri, Mathura Puri. Puri means city. So Puranjana means one who enjoys in a body, or one who lives in a body. And Srila Prabhupada explained in the beginning, in the purpose, to the beginning of the chapter, Prabhupada writes, every living entity is Puranjana. The word Puram means within this body, within this form. And Jana means living entity. Thus, everyone is Puranjana. Every living entity is supposed to be the king of his body, because the living entity is given full freedom to use his body as he likes. So if you wanted to be a king and you didn't know you are a king, now you know you are a king. You are a king of your body. You also, queen, king, queen. It doesn't matter. You are ruling the body. Srila Prabhupada says, you can do with your body whatever you like to do. And to a certain extent it is true, isn't it? We can use the body in so many different ways. We can perform pious activities, use the body to help others, to give charity, and so on. Like now there was this big catastrophe, very terrible catastrophe in Haiti. They don't know even how many people died. No clear statistics. Tens of thousands of people died from the earthquake. And then some people, they decide to go. There was a message also by one devotee from the United States, from Mataji, Lila Sukha Mataji. She was sending the message, if some devotees are interested in going to distribute prasadam, there is Food for Life program. Devotees are going to arrange prasadam distribution in Haiti. So we can use the body to go and help others. Some go and help others distribute prasadam. Devotees do it in this way, giving not just help to the body, but help to the soul also, to both. Mainly, devotees are concerned with the soul, but we should be careful not to be insensitive to the sufferings of other living beings. Recently, there was one Spanish bishop made a statement. His name was Munilla, Bishop Munilla. He made a public statement that there are wars. Of course, I don't know. Sometimes the journalists misquote someone, or they take him out of context. Maybe he didn't mean exactly, wanted to be insensitive. But you have to be careful what you speak, especially nowadays, because you can be quoted out of context. He said something that is actually theologically is true. What he said is true. He said there are greater ills, greater pains than what happened in Haiti, the earthquake. And he said that actually the greater ill is the ill of the soul that is disconnected from God. So he was right, but was perhaps not the best moment to communicate the message when people are shocked. They immediately give the crude message. Anyway, what he said, it's true, but we should be also, when we present Krishna consciousness, be sensitive to what people are experiencing at the time. Otherwise, the message may not get across. Like, there is a story here, is talking about the rectum, about evacuation, and there is sometimes Srila Prabhupada will tell stories, sometimes in lectures, but these stories he mainly will tell in a conversational way. Stories of Gopal Van. Did you hear any of the stories of Gopal Van? Gopal Van was a jester. He was the jester of a king in Krishnanagar. Krishnanagar is very near Mayapur Dam. It's like, how long? Maybe 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers from Mayapur, more or less, maybe less.
About half an hour.
Half an hour by bus. So whatever that means in India, I don't know how many kilometers you are from Bengal. 2025. Anyway, it's nearby. So he was a king there. I don't know how big was the king in India. As we are kings of our body, also, India in the past, also in the West, we had the feudal kingdoms. Feudal, you call? There were the feudal lords. They were like kings, small kings who will pay tribute to a greater king, to the emperor, to a bigger king. So anyway, this was a king, he had a jester, Gopalvan. And in one occasion, the queen delivered a child, a male child. And the king, of course, he was thrilled. And generally, he had a very, very close relationship with the jester. Gopal was like a member of the family. Like, to the extent, for example, just to give you an idea, there is in another occasion, Prabhupada told the story, the king asked Gopal, Gopal, what is the difference between you and a jackass, an ass? And then Gopal, he was there, and he stepped 1, 2, 3, 3 steps, walking towards the king. And the king would laugh, like he will have a good time. So he had such a close relationship that he could tell practically anything to the king. So then he asked him, he wanted to share his joy with the king. And he said, you see, my wife just delivered the prince, the child, the prince. I'm so happy. Tell me, Gopal, how are you feeling now? How do you feel? And then Gopal, he said, to be frank, I feel relief because I just answered the calls of nature. The king didn't feel that was a very good joke. you can imagine, he didn't feel that was a good joke. So, and he became so upset. He said, oh, Gopal, this is nonsense. How do you dare? This is what you feel? I'm sharing my joy with you, and you feel like that? This is nonsense. And he decided not to speak to him. He was so upset, so offended, that he decided not to speak to him for several days. Sometimes even among family members, there may be something happens, and okay, I don't speak to you anymore. Of course, if there is real love, that will not last. But anyway, that happened. So, after 2 or 3 days, the king was, Gopal was taking, was riding on a boat through the Ganges with the king. He was taking him to some place. Someone else was there also, but okay, Gopal was rowing the boat. So he and the king was not talking to him, only the minimum. This or that, do this, do that. But nothing, no jokes anymore. So suddenly the king felt the urges of nature. He felt the urges of nature, and he said, Gopal, hurry up. Nature is calling. Please hurry up. I need to go to the banks of the river. And Gopal was saying, Your Majesty, just 1 minute more. Here there are dacoits, thieves, and rogues. Don't go there. That's dangerous. He wanted to go into the bushes. There are thieves and rogues, don't go there. And then, okay, 1 minute more. Then, Gopal, please hurry up, Gopal. No, here there is some, it's too much jungle, will not be good, there are too many insects, maybe a snake, don't go there, maybe dangerous. And then, Gopal, please, hurry up, hurry up. Then, finally, Gopal reaches the bank. The king runs to relieve himself. And then when he comes back, he's kind of like, when he's feeling relief. And then Gopal asks him, Your Majesty, how do you feel? I feel very happy because I just answer the calls of nature. You see, this is how, you asked me how I was feeling. This is how I was feeling when you asked me some days ago. Why did you get so offended? So anyway, the point of this story, you can say, what's the point? The point is that we should, when we preach, we should be sensitive to the feelings of others. Because we may be feeling joy, but the other person may be experiencing a different situation, like we were giving the example of the people in IT. They are suffering, so we should preach in a way that will be appealing to them. Also, when a dear member of the family dies, we should leave room for mourning. It is not that immediately. Oh, sometimes sadhus, they speak strongly, but there should be done in a sensitive way, a living place for people to express their grief. That's necessary. So, here it is, the verse of today discusses the topic of evacuation and death, and they are very much connected. Prabhupada gives the explanation that sinful people, when the soul leaves the body, does it through the lower gates. Actually, the rectum and the genitals are the, we could call them, Prabhupada calls them like that, the subterranean gates of the body. There are 9 gates in the body. The Bhagavad Gita also describes this. How it is? Navadwaram puredehi. Navadwaram. Nava means 9, like Navadvip. Dwara, gates. Puri, the city. Dehi. He who inhabits in the city. He is the body, and then there is the person who inhabits in the body. So the soul is living in the city of the 9 gates. And this is what Puranjana did. He went into a city of 9 gates, with the purpose of enjoying. So we are the spirit soul, and we come from Goloka Vrindavan, from the spiritual world. We come into the material world with the idea of enjoying. And this is a story that Narada Muni is telling King Prachinabarhi. Puranjana, you are a king. Yes, you are a king. So I'm going to talk to you about another king, what he did. So, like, you think you are a king, like sometimes people also question, especially people who have no big position in society, sometimes they question the king. And they say, yes, the king, they think they are very important people. But look at them when think of them when they are at the toilet. This is a way of undermining the person. The meaning is, he's an ordinary person like you or me. He also has to answer the calls of nature. He is not so powerful king. So anyway, that's the message. Narada Muni, in one way, indirectly, is conveying that message. You think you are a king, but you also will die. You also will have to go to the toilet every day. Like people, sometimes they say, I am God. Some days ago, we were discussing about the idea of monist Mayavadi philosophers. They say, I am God. But then what Prabhupada sometimes will challenge, what type of God you are, when nature calls you, you cannot postpone very long. Okay, you may be able to postpone a little bit, but you cannot postpone too long. What kind of king are you? Are we kings or are we slaves? Are we kings or are we slaves? So actually we come here to the material world, from the spiritual world, we come to enjoy Puranjana. From the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, where it is described in Brahma Samhita, that in the spiritual world, every step is dancing. Every step. Here you have to watch where you step. Sometimes in the cities, now they put fines to avoid it. But you can step on, we're talking, sorry about that, but we're talking, this is the topic of the verse, I'm quoting this. You can step on a stool, dog stool, or so you have to be careful where you step. This is the material world. Anything can be there. And it's a dangerous place. But in the spiritual world, every step is a dance. Every word is a song. Water is nectar. Here, especially in the age of Kali, you have to be careful. You have to analyze the water every year to make sure it is not polluted. Polluted by what? By a stool, again. So this is the nature of the material world. There is pollution, there is death. Pollution and death are all pervading in the material world. The material nature is very expert and may give us some space. This is the mercy of the Lord also, that He gives us some space. So we don't perceive death so much. And only from time to time there is massive evacuation of nature, like what happened now, a big earthquake, many people die, and even the big armies of the world, it is a mess, they cannot manage. It has taken them 4 days to start, getting into grips with the situation, starting to distribute some help. But already the whole place is smelling to death. People have to walk like this. They cannot walk there. So many corpses, they cannot count. So this is the nature of the material world. It's evacuation. Evacuation takes place. Just imagine if there will not be death. Imagine there is no death, but we have material bodies. What will happen in the planet? You see, Krishna makes everything perfect. So evacuation is necessary for the proper functioning of nature. It happens in our body. Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that the living entity feels well if he evacuates properly. If we don't evacuate properly, we have a problem, a health problem. It's a serious problem. If it takes more than 3 days to evacuate, it's a problem. If we evacuate too much, also, it's a problem. Like Prabhupada will talk about the yogi, the bogi, and the rogi. Did you hear about that one? You can measure if you evacuate once a day, that's yogi. Twice a day, bogi, because it means overeating. Then you have to go too much to answer the calls of nature. And thrice a day or more, that's rogi. Rogi means an ill person. An ill person is not proper functioning. Something is wrong. So the idea is that we live in the city of the nine gates, And we have come here to enjoy, but then we have to suffer. These nine gates, the two eyes, the two ears, two nostrils, the mouth, and the two subterranean gates, the genital and the rectum, we think we are ruling over them. Like here it is described, King Puranjana will go there. And the word, you look at the verse Vishaya. Vishaya is the friend. Vishaya means enjoyment. He was going there to enjoy. But what type of enjoyment is that? Evacuation is described as an enjoyment. And in some way it is. It relieves us from pollution, from pain, from whatever is corrupted within the body. So it is. And actually there is some authors, thinkers, writers, they have expressed this, that I forgot who was the author. I don't know if it was Twain, one author. I heard it from Sarvarupa Maharaj when I was in America. He said, actually, that such and such author, he was saying that evacuation is a pleasure which is undervalued in modern society. In present society, it is undervalued. And sex enjoyment is overvalued. Actually, they are the same. They can be classified in the same way. Because in both cases, it is about some type of evacuation. It is connected. And actually, it is not, you can say, come on, I mean, these people, they are speculators. I was reading yesterday, was doing a little research to try to find the quote. And then I found this quote about a classical work by someone was saying, someone from Oxford, if I will be put in an island with a few books, I will take this book. This book is named Utopia. It's a book written in the beginning of the 16th century by Thomas More. And it talks about the utopia, about an island in the Atlantic Ocean. It's a fictional island where we can find the perfect society, the perfect system. Everything is perfect there. But that really does not exist. And this connects us with the material world. It is an utopia that we think that we are going to be ruling here. We're going to be the king. We enter into the city of the nine gates. We, to a certain extent, we are kings. But then we are not kings. We have to evacuate. We have to die. We do not enjoy. And we try to enjoy in so many ways. So the same, the author, Thomas More, also was speaking about that. He was classifying together. And it is interesting because it is connected to Shastra. The pleasure of sex, the pleasure of evacuation, and the pleasure of scratching an itch, he was putting them together. And this is actually the material world. We try to enjoy, but actually all these things are not real satisfaction. You can say, come on, you say, it is undervalued, the pleasure of excretion, and the pleasure of sex is overvalued. That do not do these comparisons. The Mahabharat, when analyzing Sankhya, he also says, when describing the functions of the senses, evacuation, also the functions of the genital are classified together with the functions of the rectum, or evacuation. Semen, or also for women the menstrual period, these are forms of evacuation and therefore some form of pollution. Also we find in the books when we discuss deity worship, in some places it is described, one should not go into worship immediately after sexual intercourse. even for a grihastha, should be clean, should be properly clean, cannot go immediately and worship the deity, because there is pollution. So in the material world, we're trying to get pleasure from places which are actually polluted. We have come to become the kings of the world, but actually it is not real. We are going to have to answer to the calls of nature, not just, as we say ordinarily, but all the calls of nature, ending with death. And therefore, they are classified together. We could look into other ways. To end, materialistic people, they do not like, they like to put aside. We don't like to present ourselves. For example, educated person, civilized person, will present himself. Like sometimes we go to India and we see the people evacuating all over the place in the morning, and they do it in a very relaxed way. They're just doing what they have to do, what can be done. This is nature. They don't have a house. They don't have a toilet at home. Sorry. They have to do it. They go next to the river or to the forest, and they are there sitting. But in the West, we will say, no educated person will do that. We don't like to project ourselves in such an image, public image. Isn't it? We don't like to die either. We don't like to talk about death. Talk about death, we put it under the carpet. That's not good talks. But actually, this is the reality. This is what is the material world about. But devotees, they see it in a different way. They see it in a happy way. To end, they will tell a story also about evacuation. Prabhupada told that story. I want to read it because it's somewhat comical. And this Prabhupada told it when he was just a few days before passing away in Vrindavan. He was in Vrindavan and he was his body, many of you will have seen the images of Srila Prabhupada with very little flesh and like a great yogi, very conscious. You can see how sharp he was. Even his body was deteriorating. He was completely alert, perceiving everything. So during those days in Vrindavan, devotees were taking him up to his room, up the stairs, in a palanquin, around the temple and also up the stairs. And then Prabhupada started to laugh. He was laughing. Anyway, we'll read it. It's during Srila Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan, he used to be carried up and down the stairs in a palanquin chair. His habit was to take rest during the day in his bed on the roof. One day, going up the narrow staircase from the first floor to the roof, Shatadanya Maharaj carried the rear portion of Prabhupada's palanquin by its two handles, and another man carried the front. Tamal Krishna Goswami led the group, and Upendra Das followed, carrying Prabhupada's drinking lota and quilt. Suddenly, Srila Prabhupada began to laugh uncontrollably. Someone who is about to die, and he's laughing like anything. It's amazing how devotees see death, how devotees see the pollution of the world. The devotees were amazed because Srila Prabhupada was very ill and had been silent and grave. "Do you want to hear a funny story?" he asked. They all answered, "Yes, Prabhupada." "Let us go upstairs. There I can see." While Upendra rushed to get his tape recorder, you can imagine everyone, okay, what's going on? Prabhupada, the last words of the Acharya. Prabhupada was talking very little, tape recorder and everything. The others brought Srila Prabhupada to the roof, placed him on his bed, and sat at his feet. Srila Prabhupada's body was very gaunt from the months of fasting, and he lay back, but continued laughing. There is a Bengali proverb, he said, Garib manush cha chinga kai, maybe you know, sorry for my poor Bengali pronunciation, but maybe, Garib manush cha chinga kai, hatta gelo gaura jai. Do you understand? Just to say it made Prabhupada laugh more. Prabhupada was laughing. The devotees remained mystified and expectant. Okay, what is the teaching? No, I'll explain, said Srila Prabhupada. Garib manush. Garib means poor. And manush means man. Again, Srila Prabhupada broke into laughter. His thin body shaking and his whole face smiling. Chachinga kai, he continued. Chachinga means grasshopper. Kai eats. He's so poor, so this poor man has nothing to eat, except he's finding some grasshoppers and eating them. Garit manush chachinga kai hakta gelo. But when he goes to pass a stool, Gaura Jai, he rides on a big white horse. Prabhupada laughed loudly, and all the devotees sat in amazement. Then Prabhupada turned to Upendra and said, you understand? Upendra's face became red in non-understanding. He couldn't understand what he's talking about. Shatananda Maharaj was thinking, I hope Prabhupada does not ask me. You imagine the Swami there asking, I don't understand anything. I hope he doesn't ask me. I will be embarrassed. I don't understand what he means. Shatananda turned to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and whispered, Tamal, do you understand? Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave an unsure nod and said, yes, but he remained silent. Prabhupada said, just see, Garib Manush, he's a poor man eating only grasshoppers. But when he goes to pass a stool, he rides a big white horse. When Prabhupada saw that they could not understand, he explained further. Similarly, I am a sannyasi. So a sannyasi is a beggar, a poor man. I am a poor man, and yet I have to go to sleep. Then four men must carry me in a palanquin. In this way, they all laughed and enjoyed Prabhupada's story, but not quite as much as did Prabhupada himself. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, no time for questions. Okay. Well, we should remember what it is. It is actually, it's a scratching an itch. This is what it is. It seems very big in the beginning, but then it does not last. So it is in one way like evacuation. It's like getting relief. Then later on it's nothing. So it's experiencing a higher taste. But training intelligence is there also. This is Sankhya, therefore in Sankhya philosophy it is classified evacuation, the functions of, and actually there are more quotes like that. When sex life is not used, to produce good population, good children. In Sanskrit, it is used in relation to Ravana. Ravana is referred to in the Bhagavatam as Mutra. Mutra means urine. He is condemned like urine, another form of evacuation. He is condemned like urine. Because it means, it's actually a play with the words. There is putra and mutra. Putra means son. A good son is named putra because putra, the son will liberate the father from hell by performing spiritual activities or religious activities. The father will be liberated by the good activities of the son. But when the son engages in sinful activities, becomes like mutra. So it means actually it is something to waste. It is better for that person. It is not a contribution to society to bring such type of children. So this is the idea that we should learn the teachings of Sankhya in order to help in our conditioned state, to help to see things in a better perspective, with wisdom. But of course, ultimately, you mentioned why we lose it sometimes, and why we get nuts. Because we are not focusing on a higher taste. We need to focus on the taste, on the higher experience of the relationship with Krishna. We talk about love. People are seeking for love. They say, oh, make love. Ultimately, what is the idea? The idea of finding love, connection. This connection can be found in yoga with Krishna. This is the real connection. The other connection is temporary. It's not the ultimate connection. Is that okay? Also?
Sneezing. I mean, they're all in the same.
And
within the brain, and kind of scientifically speaking, it's all in the same. Like evacuation, sneezing, sangha. So I found that interesting that even in my karma school teachings, but I mean, what people take from it, I don't know. And also another point, the story I read from Satsrup Song, this one about the jester and the king. And there was another point that he was also mentioning was so he got to be relieved when they're on a boat, and the jester said, "You must let me free," and he said, "I'll relieve." And the jester, and then he explains, "Well, the reason I told you that I felt relief when you had a child is that I was trying to explain to you that it's the same feeling, this temporary relief and the child being born.
Good. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.